Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. I'm your host, Lexi, and today's the third summer series, and we're talking about health. This is all about a lifestyle change and not a diet, so you're not going to find any get skinny quick tips from me, but 5 years ago, I adopted a gluten-free lifestyle, and now because I'm nursing, I'm also dairy-free, and I try my hardest to be refined sugar-free as well. It sounds like a lot, sounds overwhelming, but truly, I've seen so much progress in my own health journey, and I'm just going to share a little bit about that with you. So just to cut straight to it, I currently have a 1-month-old and an 18-and-a-half-month-old, and miraculously, they are both sleeping right now, so I'm knocking this episode out. It might be a quick one. It might not be as poised as they all the other ones. Not that the other ones are poised. I don't know what I'm trying to say. All I'm trying to say is that we're going to talk about health. So here we go. 5.5 years ago, I became gluten-free. After hearing all these things about a gluten-free diet, I was curious and I had to know why is everyone going gluten-free and what are some of the symptoms? And right before that, I had had a doctor's appointment where my doctor was, he was an MD, but he also had studied to be a DO, which is kind of more on the natural side of things. And he just asked me about my diet, and I told him I ate a lot of sugar and a lot of carbs. And his response to me was, "Do you read?" And I'm like, "Oh, great, a doctor's telling me to read a book." And I was like, "Sure, doc, like, yeah, I read." He's like, "Read this book called Grain Brain by Dr. Perlmutter." And the book is all about wheat, gluten, and sugar and the effects, or carbs, wheat, and sugar and the effects on the brain. And it's a fascinating book, and it talks about ADD and ADHD. It talks about some mental disorders, some anxiety and depression effects from gluten. It talks about sleeping issues, and it talks about also digestive issues and migraines. And a lot of these things were things I was struggling with. I had ADD and I was medicated for ADD, which was something that I wanted to get off of. During college for 2 years, I took Vyvanse every single day. And about 6 to 9 months in, I had to up my dosage. And I just saw that as a trajectory of something that was going to be a pill that I had to pop every day just to function, just to feel like I could focus and get through the day. And I knew there had to be something more. And so I prayed, and that's when I met my doctor, and I looked up the symptoms of a gluten intolerance, and I checked almost every box. The only one I didn't check was the digestive issues, but I checked off the ADD. I checked off the migraines. I was having migraines frequently. I checked off the mood swings. I honestly thought that I was bipolar. I have a history of mental illness in my family. And so I was just sure that this was the path that I was going to have to pursue with medical intervention and blah, blah, blah. And adopting a gluten-free diet helped me to not have mood swings. It sounds crazy, but food affects us so, so, so much more than we will ever know. And so fast forward 5 years, and I'm pretty much migraine free. It's very, very rare that I get a migraine. I've been off of my medication for 5 years. I don't have mood swings. And I also had chicken skin, which is like such an odd thing, but it's basically acne on the back of the arms. And that is something that also went away when I adopted a gluten-free diet. And I say all this to tell you, not that you may not have a gluten intolerance, but if any of those sound like things that you're struggling with, I would be so happy to talk to you personally, take time out of my day to talk to you, because it is something that changed my life. And I think that the part that is the most scary is just the leap of trying it out. I'm big on telling people about elimination diets. There's about 7 foods that we need to watch out for. And I think that that's a great place to start. If you don't know that it's gluten, or you haven't had someone tell you that you may have a gluten intolerance, then here are the 7 foods. Soy, wheat, dairy, alcohol, sugar. What are the other two, Lexi? Caffeine, corn, I believe. Those are things that we have to look out for as ingredients in common foods. And these are things that are in almost all processed foods. So I would just start by taking out processed foods. I'm a big believer in whole foods, and not just Whole 30. Whole 30 is something that you can do for about 30 days. And I've seen a lot of people sustain a Whole 30 like lifestyle past doing that because they felt so good, but it's not a realistic expectation to be able to eat like that all the time, unless you're just very, very flexible with yourself. But what I tell people is eat whole foods, eat lots of fruits and vegetables, and just eat real food. That's seriously the most simple way to put it. And when you do that, you don't eat a lot of crap, and you don't eat a lot of gluten or dairy or processed sugar stuff, because you're eating whole foods. And the most frustrating thing that someone could ever tell me is, I could never give up gluten. I love bread too much. I'm a foodie. And I get that, but I'm also a foodie, and I'm very, very offended by people that think that just because I don't eat gluten, that I don't absolutely love food. I think about food probably more than the average person. It's one of my passions in life. It's why I travel. It's why I wake up in the morning so I could figure out what I'm going to eat for breakfast. It's why I enjoy hospitality so much. It's a big part of who I am. So it is such bogus when someone says, I'm such a foodie, I could never give up wheat. I call bluff. So yes, you have to be more creative. Italian food all of a sudden doesn't taste as good as it used to, but girl, you can do it if you believe that this is something that you need. It's not just a fad if you're having some of these issues. And I think that a lot of people are scared of what others will think. And for me, that was a big thing. I had a lot of pushback from family, from friends, people thinking this is just something that I'm going to do for a month and then I'm going to give up. And here I am, 5.5 years later, still rocking the gluten-free diet. And I think once you hit that 5-year mark, people take you seriously. Like, this isn't going to change, is it? But I digress, and I just want to give y'all some real practical tips when it comes to your health and when it comes to making a lifestyle change. First is, this has nothing to do with eating, but sleeping. Make sure you know your body and you know how much sleep you need to function at your best. Some people that's 4 hours, some people that's 9 hours, whatever that is. Make sure that you're going to bed at the same time every night and that you're getting an adequate amount of sleep. That is a huge, huge part of your health, of your mental health, of your stress levels, of the way that you treat your spouse. It is just the foundation of our health is sleep. And then next is water. It's a simple one. Take your body weight, divide it in half, and then that's how much you should be drinking in ounces. If you weigh 140 pounds, you should be drinking 70 ounces of water a day. It's real simple. And then the next one is my favorite thing to talk about, is shopping the perimeter in the grocery store. It is where the fruits, the vegetables, all of the salad stuff, all of the herbs and all of that kind of stuff, and then the produce, those are all on the perimeter of the grocery store. And only go to the aisles that you need something that's on your shopping list. I know that there's people that love to zigzag through all of the aisles and see what chips are on sale, but girl, do yourself a favor and only go to the aisles for ingredients that you need. And this doesn't mean all the time. If you are having your girlfriends over, by golly, please go get some Talenti ice cream and some wine and enjoy it up. eat those calories, do your thing, have fun. I'm all about the 80-20 rule. So I say 80% of the time you should be eating a certain way, and 20% of the time is kind of a free-for-all. So whether that's one day a week that you just choose to eat whatever you want, or you absolutely love eating, you know, sugary breakfast, then make sure the other two meals are super healthy and make it work for you. I think that that is a huge, huge point. And so many people give up because they're doing diets that are crash diets. They're not sustainable. They're challenges like a 30-day or a 60-day challenge. And I have seen more people do something like that and end up bigger on the after they've done that, because they have been starving themselves from what they love so much for so long that they end up putting all the weight back on because it's not a lifestyle change. So please do yourself a favor and stop crash dieting. Like I said, I've been gluten-free for 5 years, dairy-free because I'm breastfeeding. Mamas, if you're breastfeeding and you've got a fussy little one, it's time to start doing an elimination diet. I know some mamas that have their little ones have struggles with dairy, and some that have struggles with soy. So it's a tough thing, but try to figure out what it is that's triggering your little one's belly. And as they get older, you can try those foods again. But when they're little and they're new, just really try to eat some bland foods. And if you're having trouble with your milk production, just try to eat some lots and lots of oats, and try to have, I know it's kind of sad, but a little bit more of a bland diet in those beginning stages of having a newborn. Some of the differences that you may experience from an elimination diet, which is just taking some of those big, foods, the seven food categories out of your diet, which is alcohol, soy, dairy, wheat, caffeine, sugar, and corn. If you take those out and then you slowly add them back in, you can see what foods are actually bothering your body. Some of the differences you may see are in your skin and your hair. This is huge. I've seen such a difference when I eat organic or I eat whole foods in the way that my skin and hair look. Your energy levels. Some people drink 4 cups of coffee a day, and others eat a really healthy diet and they have the same amount of energy. And I'm not saying that you can't enjoy caffeine, but if you are somebody that struggles with anxiety, that might be something to consider. Mood and focus. Our food, believe it or not, affects our mood. So I can tell when I've had a lot of sugar that I get irritable. I know that when I have gluten, I also get irritable. So just knowing your body and paying attention to what you're eating. And then digestive tract. I mean, guys, our gut is our second brain. And so our gut is so important, and it talks to our brain, and it is a huge, huge part of our body that we really need to take care of. And then weight, it's not the goal, it's just a bonus. I am a big believer in not chasing the scale down to a certain number, because the average person is 5 to 10 pounds away from their goal weight their entire life. Yes, let me repeat that. The average person is 5 to 10 pounds away from their goal weight their entire life, which just means that they're telling themselves that they're not enough right where they are, and they're actually not going to change from the number on the scale. So be healthy for the sake of being healthy, not for the sake of seeing a different number on the scale. So weight loss is just a bonus from having a healthy lifestyle. If you struggle with anxiety or depression, this does not replace medical care. So please hear me when I say this, but if you are struggling in those areas, please, please, please consider an anti-inflammatory diet, which just means eating whole foods. Like I said, I'd be happy to chat with anyone who wants to talk about this. And just a few quick tips for anyone that wants just a few meal options. I would love to chat with you about more, but a few of my favorites are, one is banana pancakes in the morning, because your girl gets sick of eggs every once in a while. So banana pancakes is for one serving is two eggs, one banana, and a handful of oats or a cup of oats. And you blend it up in the blender and voila, you have some pancakes. It's awesome. They don't taste like the fluffy pancakes that you get from Jemima. No, that's syrup. Anyways, you know what I'm talking about. I absolutely love these pancakes. They're my go-to, so that is one thing. Another dinner, a dinner option that you could think about is, sorry, my phone is going off. How rude of me. A dinner item or dinner option you could think about is salmon and Brussels sprouts. It's a really, really easy go-to meal for me. And I just pop the salmon in the oven at about 350 and I cook it about medium rare to medium. And then I put Brussels sprouts in a saute pan with a little bit of bacon and maple syrup and butter. And it is just so delicious and such a great staple meal for us. As far as carbs go, people and starches, people often think that rice and potatoes have gluten. They are gluten-free. So when I first became gluten-free, the first thing I Googled was Chick-fil-A, and I was pleasantly surprised to read that their French fries were in fact gluten-free. So I eat a crap ton of French fries and I eat a ton of rice and I am so thankful that I can eat those things. What to avoid is the breads, the pastas, the pizzas, that kind of stuff. Mostly Italian food. A really safe ethnic cuisine is Mexican. When you avoid the flour tortillas, pretty much everything else on the menu will be gluten-free, which is awesome. Also have had a really easy time eating Indian food as well. A lot of their foods are gluten-free other than the naan bread, so you can just avoid the naan bread. So just a couple of quick tips if you are considering, feel overwhelmed by it, please reach out to me personally. I am so serious. This is something that I love, love, love helping people with because it's changed my life so, so much and added so much value to me. So, like I said, sleep is important. The water intake thing is important and the way that you eat is important. Give yourself grace. Ask your friends and family to be on board and hold you accountable. And if you want someone to talk to, someone to walk this out with, I would love nothing more than to support and encourage you on this journey. As always, you are infinitely valuable. You were created with a unique set of gifts, skills, and talents created by God for His purpose and His glory. So go and be His hands and feet to this broken world. Get it, girl. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of the Summer Series. Make sure to share with a friend and leave a review because it is life to us podcasters. Have a great summer.